Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today is a special day here in Light and Life, and you may notice that A, there was no handout in the back there, and some of you are thinking the sky is falling, there's no handout. No, sky is not falling, and then you see me, I have no papers in front of me. And the reason why is we have actually a special presentation today. May is going to be made by four guys who you probably don't know, where they're four guys who I know very, very well. And they did something these past few days that I really felt it was important that they share here with you guys. Now, first thing let me tell you is these four guys, okay, they're four buddies of mine from New York, New Jersey kind of area. And they're guys that I consider like really, really good friends of mine. And even though I would never say this to them, okay, they actually inspire me in a lot of ways, and I look up to them in a lot of ways. Not in all ways, some ways not, but some ways I do very much look up to them. These guys came here, they told me they kind of coordinated their schedules, and they were going to be here for 3 or 4 days, and they wanted to do mission in D.C. So I said, okay, what's mission in D.C.? I said, okay, come up with some kind of a plan. And they came up with some kind of a plan, and I'll be honest, I didn't really read the plan very detailed. So I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, maybe we'll have lunch when you guys are here, whatever. And I didn't think it was going to be much. But then I hung out with them after their first day, and they started telling me about the stuff they did. And I said, y'all got to share this stuff. And let me be up front and tell you, they don't want to share. And the last thing they want to do is stand up here in front of these lights, in front of that camera, and speak. All right? But I didn't really give them much of a choice. Because I really think the message is very, very important, and every single person needs to get this message. So I'm asking you for a favor. Do me a big favor. Everyone do me a big favor just today. Don't do it for the rest of your life, but just do it today. Don't just come here to listen to a talk, okay? I promise next week I'll be back and I'll give you a talk and I'll give you a handout and I'll show you cool pictures and stuff like that. Talk about my family. I'll do all the fun stuff that y'all love, but today don't come listen to a talk. Today, come and see if God has a message for you. Because I promise you, they're going to talk about here today, and I spoke about it for those who was in the kids' liturgy, is something that's really on God's heart. And if we say that we love God, then we have to care about the things that God cares about. All right? So I'm going to invite these guys to come up here. Y'all are going to give them a break because they're not, like, thoroughly prepared. Okay, I'm kind of throwing them on the spot. Okay, and they're probably a little bit nervous, but they're going to do just fine. So give a big hand to these guys. We'll just do one at a time.
So hey guys, so I'm the first of these guys. We're gonna each share a few minutes with you. So thank you for having this chance to share with you. Like Abuna was saying, like, we're not preachers and stuff. We just want to share our experience with you. So a little more about the plan from when we were coming. We just emailed Abuna since he didn't read the plan. The idea of it was just one little vision that we had. Like, we've been to Africa and we've done some, like, as I'm sure a lot of you have, we've done some mission abroad where you do like miracles and God does beautiful things. And then we were saying, okay, America is a big mission field. So we were saying, okay, but where in America? Like, what can we do here? So we were saying, all right, Lord, like, maybe we can go to places that are difficult regardless of safety. That's been like, that was just the one simple like vision statement of the trip. And we were saying, God, okay, like, lead as you will, and we'll just like, we're going to do it. And then where God was saying was like, okay, difficult? Are you sure you want to go difficult? We said, okay, difficult. So we asked, okay, what's the toughest neighborhood in D.C., like where people don't usually want to go and cabs don't take you even like in the afternoon? People were like, Anacostia. We're like, that sounds very like pleasant. Like, Anacostia, like sounds like, so we go to Anacostia and we're like, why is that guy wearing a bulletproof vest? It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We're just playing chess and just hanging out and just doing nothing. And, okay, well, where else would be difficult, God? I mean, maybe we can preach to people in the street. He said, no, I want you to preach to people in mosques. We said, mosques are not very nice places to preach to people. But we said, okay, God, we'll do. So throughout this entire plan, we were saying, okay, God, like, not only is this dumb to us, and even amongst ourselves when we're praying, we're saying, this is dumb, but God wants us to do it. Like, even in the Pauline epistle today, St. Paul is saying, like, the Spirit of God, like, love God constrains me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And we don't do this for a living. Like, Abuna at least gets a salary for this. So we're just, like, we each have our own job and our own profession, our own thing. But we were saying, like, the name of God here needs to be preached. And, some of the verses that, like, inspired us or whatever, we're hoping to put on the screen. one thing I'll share with you guys is from Psalm 40, verse 10, where King David says, "For I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation, and I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly." And the great assembly, like, took a bunch of different ideas. Even last night, we said, okay, where's another great assembly? Another very nice sounding place, DuPont Circle or Square. I'm not sure. We were even confused about that in our prayers yesterday. We go to this place, DuPont Circle. And the first thing we want to do is, okay, we want to go and go to people who are intending to get really hammered and go to places that are not very godly and say to them, God loves you and God wants to give you more than this place. Very first thing that happens, God sends us somebody with Abuna with us. Last night, Abuna was with us for the first time. And someone, a gentleman comes and asks us, hey guys, where's the nearest gentleman's club? They're like, Abuna, do you want to take this one? Because we're like, all right, buddy, this is a perfect opportunity. Like, God just started throwing people in our way the whole time. So we got to preach to this guy and his brother-in-law who was on his way to a gentleman's club. And we're holding Bibles and holding pamphlets and just openly and, like, lovingly and normally sharing with him about the love of God. And God was doing that in every situation. Like, as long as we felt we were doing what we were saying, God, like, we're not going to hold back our Jesus. Like, we get really cool Jesus in the Eucharist. We get really cool Jesus, even in life, because we're big fans, obviously, and we listen to all these things. Saying, God, we're going to take in everything, but we're not going to hold it back. Like, we're going to go to places and, like, go to the point of no return. Like, once we committed to be in Anacostia and we were on the block and we were speaking to people, like, for example, one guy that we met started telling us how he just came out of prison. Saying, okay, maybe you came out of prison because you were not very nice. Like, what happened? Said, well, I just killed somebody 16 years ago. We're saying, okay, very safe again. Let's just take another. Like, but again, like, safety wasn't an issue. Like, God will protect. And if we die, yeah, it's okay. Hopefully we don't. But this guy gave us an audience, like a guy that was a killer, but, like, was able to hear us, just a bunch of four guys who are nothing and who don't have whatever. We're able to share with him the love of Christ and say to him, like, stuff about Jesus and his love and all these things that we know thoroughly and greatly and stuff like that. And the point of us sharing today, even like Abuna kind of was saying, is other verse from Luke 9:44, is that, like, the Lord said, like, let these sayings sink down into your ears or sink down into your hearts. So for us, like, we've heard a lot of stuff, us four from New York, and we've heard a lot of really inspirational things, and we've even, like, watched, like, YouTube videos of, like, missionaries that do stuff and whatever. But we're just saying, like, I don't think enough of it is sinking down into our hearts and sinking down into our ears and, more importantly, like, sinking down into our feet, really, like, for us to take a step somewhere and just go. And for the most part, like, there wasn't a very, like, detailed plan. Like, people would be asking us, like, what are you doing? We'd be like, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, we usually, when we come to D.C., we're like, we're just going to go have lunch with Abuna, maybe play some basketball and, like, whatever, you know? But for this, like, what are you going to do here? Like, well, we're going to preach the gospel everywhere, you know? And for us, like, what made it very, like, practical, too, is we want to take a little bit of offense. Like, you know, the Bible talks about, like, defense and offense in the spiritual life. And so, speaking of, like, there's, like, a huge hoop on top of my head here. Like, you guys know, if, like, when you play basketball or any sport, if all you do is just play defense, you will lose, and it's not going to be very fun. Like, so for us, in the spiritual life, we were trying to do, okay, how can we have some offense? How can we go out and do some stuff? So, more things just from yesterday, from DuPont Circle or Square. We were saying, God, like, here we are in a place full of people who are all coming for ungodly purposes. Like, open a door. Then God opens us for us a door to be able to stand, like, on a corner with a line of people waiting to go into a club and, like, and then for us to share with them both openly and publicly, but not in, like, the creepy way, you know, the guy that's standing on the street corner. And we've been able to say that to them, guys, like, we're not the crazy guy. Like, we're just regular people like you, and we're just here to share something with you. And the craziest thing was, like, people were listening. And one of the things that God was teaching us over the past couple of days is that, like, people don't hate God the way we think they do. Even people in really bad places, even people in, like, the shady places of town or, like, the hood or wherever, like we think sometimes that if we were to share God, people would just start stoning us, like Synaxarium, like, you'll just cut our heads off. And, like, but you see us four here, like, we haven't even needed a Band-Aid, thank God, like, not even a paper cut so far. Because people don't really have this like deep animosity toward Jesus as we sometimes think they do. Even people with tough backgrounds, even people with like in difficult places. So we're going to share with you a couple of other stories, and hopefully God will speak to you through them. So next up, my friend Chris will be coming up.
So I got the job of coming and saying the scaredy cat story because I'm the gaben of the group. I'm the coward of the group. So we went to a mosque about 2 days ago. And growing up in a Coptic family, that's not the place to go. You don't want to go to a mosque, number one, and attend any service in the mosque, but number two, go with the intention of ministering to our brothers, the Islamic congregation. Not a good idea. So that morning when we were going out to visit the mosques, I read a verse from Romans 10. And it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And it says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." I did not want to go to a mosque by any means possible. I was pushed. I was called a coward. I was shoved. I did not want to go. Even in the morning when I was praying, I was like, "God, please make this get canceled. Because I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it by any circumstance." And so basically the story goes as this. We had planned that we were going to stand outside of the mosque and we were going to hand tracts to people and just talk with them one-on-one. So if a person comes out, we'll just share with them. All of a sudden, we get to the mosque, and it was Friday, which Friday is the holiest day of the week, and it's Ramadan. We get to the mosque. It is St. Mark's, Washington, D.C. on Easter. Packed. Bismillah Salib, Ya Rab. Ya Adre Umm Nur. I'm scared. I'm freaked out at this point. So I'm like, "Guys, like, this is not a good idea." So like, "Let's just pray." So they all go around. They say like these fiery prayers. Everybody's like, "God, we know that you're going to win souls in the Islamic community and we're going to be able to bring the message of the gospel to them." And I'm like, "God, I really don't want to do this. God, I really don't want to go. This is foolish. This is not smart. I don't want to go." So finish praying. They all look at me and start laughing. We go. We're walking. So again, like I told you, we planned that we weren't going to step foot in the mosque. We're going to stand outside. So Mina sees a guy walking by, and he hands him a track. And the guy's like, no. So Mina goes, "Salamu alaikum." And the guy goes, "Oh, ya shabab, salamu alaikum." And he gives him a huge hug, and he greets him. And then all of a sudden, like, the older guy is, like, dressed in, like he's all white. Like, the outfit couldn't have gotten any more Islamic. And at this point, I'm like, "Thank you, God. The first person we greet is not even dressed in plain clothing. He's dressed as if he's, like the main man of the mosque." So Mina grabs his son, starts chatting with him, and then son's like, he's talking to him, he's sharing the gospel with him, and the guy's like, he's like, "Do you think it's like impossible for us to go into the mosque?" And the guy's like, "I don't know, like, I don't know if it's really smart, but if you guys like to." So Mina's walking to the gate, and all of us are slowly walking behind him. Mina gets to the gate, I'm stopped. Mina keeps walking. I'm like, "Okay, I'll walk behind him." We get to the front of the mosque. Mina goes in. All of a sudden, all of them go in. Mina takes off his shoes. All of them take off the shoes. I'm like, "Okay, I'll take off my shoes too. Yalla, we might as well just go do this." We go inside and there's like at least 600 men sitting on the floor. I'm wetting myself at this point. Easy, easy. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I could act like the boldest, most fiery Christian in the world. I was crying internally. So we sit down. We don't know the system. We go, we sit down on the floor. We're just crossing our legs and just sitting there. And the guy is preaching a message of, like, you know, brotherhood, a message of love. And this had actually shocked me because my understanding of the preaching in the Islamic community is often radical, often, like, really negative. So I didn't understand what he was going to be preaching. So anyway, he was a youth imam that happened to be preaching. So we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, we think that it's the end of the service. All of a sudden, they get up and they start walking in lines. So I'm like, guys, they're going to start praying. Let's get out of here. All of a sudden, we're trying to run out. They're pulling us into the lines. And we're like, what are we going to do? We're standing in the lines. Like, this is crazy. So then all of a sudden, we find a way and we like run on the outskirts and stand in the hallway of like everybody praying. So all of a sudden, they just start doing their chants. And it's like a chant. Like all of a sudden, like hands on their knees, then depth down and then up. And it was just like, we're freaked out. So I'm standing there and I never prayed so hard in my life. I'm like, God, if I'm going to die right now, I mean, like, it sounds dramatic, but I was being very dramatic. I was being like a little girl. So anyway, the service finishes. We get up. They're like, guys, Sam comes up with this idea. Let's go talk to the youth imam. I'm like, what are we going to talk to him about? He's like, let's just talk to him. So we go up to him. Turns out he's a guy from Chicago. Really nice guy. Speaks good English. Like, he's like, guys are welcome to come talk to me. And then the other imam makes a speech. He's like, hey guys, we need help rolling up the carpets. So if anyone wants to stay a little bit later, let's help them out. Let's help out. So all of a sudden, Sam gets this idea. He's like, hey guys, let's roll up the carpets and show an act of love that we're coming with like white flags that we're trying to just share the love of Christ. So all of a sudden, I forgot to mention this, that all three of them are walking empty-handed. I'm walking with a bag of tracks in the mosque, and it's ripping. So I'm walking through the mosque, and like now the bag is like ripping in my hands. And we go up to the imam, and we're talking, and I'm holding all these tracks. He's staring at me, staring at the tracks. Staring at me, staring at the tracks. So I'm like, guys, I'm going to the car, putting the tracks away. I'll be right back. As I'm walking out, this is the highlight. Abuna Anthony was on the floor, dying. So as we're walking out, I'm holding the tracks. And the imam had made an announcement saying, there will be a man standing outside handing out flyers. There will be a man standing outside handing out flyers. Here's this man with, by the way, I had a really aggressive long beard before today. I shaved this morning because it was beasting. But so they come up to me, they're like, Dini Wahda, give me one. So I'm like, there's a circle of guys around me at this point. And I told you, I'm the coward. So I take the bag and I'm like, this is not for you. And I run out. I run out. My chance to hand out tracts about the love of Jesus to a bunch of guys who asked me for it, I ran away from. Because the mission field isn't often glitz and glamour. There's a lot of times where you're going to be scared. There's a lot of times where you're going to be a coward. There's a lot of times where you're going to be like, why am I here? But the verse that really stuck out to me was from the book of Psalms. If you can just flip to that. Psalm chapter 56, verse 3. It says, what time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In the time where I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you, God. And as I was walking to the car, I had this really big sense of guilt. I was like, man, I had the opportunity to hand tracts to these guys, and I just ran away from it. Anyway, I ran to the car. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back. Still in my mind, I said, this is crazy. We go back. We sit with the imam, right? And the imam was this young Spanish guy from Chicago who was a convert from Catholicism. And he was saying how normally if they have like a planned out like rebuttal of what you're going to say. So why did you leave Christianity? So strong monotheism in Islam, blah, blah, blah. Like really had like his answers quick. So the four of us began to start asking him like, are you really sure that when you left Christianity, you investigated it so thoroughly that you can confidently say when you stand before God that Christianity wasn't the truth? He began to question himself. Went thoroughly into the concept of atonement and in the concept of salvation. He's talking to us about the point system in Islam. If I do one good work, it's equivalent to 10 points. And if I do one, it's minus one. And he was telling us about this point system. And the whole entire time, we just are asking him questions. And in the beginning, like I said, he started off really strong, really bold, really like quick to answer. But towards the end, he's like, you know what, guys? Like, I'm really not sure of the answer. Let me go back and check it, and then I'll let you guys know. But you just saw a sense of, like, this is the youth imam, the one who is the head of all the youth in the mosque. just seeing that his heart being softened as we're speaking to him. And that was really the most beautiful thing in the world for all of us, is that like we're going with the intention of handing out tracts, and God took us to somewhere completely different. God took us, you're going to be speaking to the youth imam, who I'm going to put the words on your mouth, and I'm going to be able to transform his heart. And hopefully, like, I don't know if he's going to all of a sudden be a Christian tomorrow. We don't know that. But the point is that at least we planted some thoughts of at least questioning, so that he can stand before, like, he has to stand before God one day and actually ask himself, like, did I leave Christianity for what I really thought it was? And that really was just the story that I felt. But also, cool thing is, in Anacostia, I wasn't the Gaben. In Anacostia, I wasn't the coward. In Anacostia, I was the one that was like, you know, I was bolder to go out in front of people because that was my comfort zone. We're used to going out and serving like in the underserved communities. But when I was outside of my comfort zone, I broke down and I wasn't able to do anything. So I guess the point of it is that it's okay to be scared when you're doing mission. And I think George is gonna follow up and say, like, how God was placing us into different places at different times. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. So like Chris was saying, you know, we all had this sense of kind of fear, you know, especially me. You know, I'm the youngest one in the group. That I kind of, I'm under these guys' wings. Like, they kind of took me in, and it was nice of them for that. But the main thing that, like, I saw when, even in Anacostia, you know, we rolled up into Anacostia, and I was terrified. I was just, like, there was a guy, like Mina said, there was a guy with a bulletproof vest playing chess. I was like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be here. So, but it was crazy how God kind of, he put us in the places where I started getting more comfortable. You know, we drove around for a little bit, and then we talked with different people. And after a while, like, I started getting comfortable. I'm like, you know, God has put us here for a reason. And, you know, it didn't come by just sitting in the car and, like, crying and, you know, oh, God, you know, please just give me this confidence. No, it came out of me getting out of the car, me going up to people and actually talking to them and interacting. And, you know, that was one of the biggest things in Anacostia that I saw. And then, you know, after we got out of this mosque and we just talked to this youth imam, you know, we were on top of the world. We're like, we could go do anything. We could preach to anybody. You know, let's go out there and, you know, let's go to another mosque. And then we had this crazy idea where, you know, hey, we're hungry. And, you know, as you guys know, it's Ramadan right now. And, you know, they fast until 8:30. And then they get together all in the mosques. And they eat together to break the fast. So we were like, all right, so this is a good way. You know, we could... this is a good way for us to kind of spread Christ's word and, you know, get a free meal. And, you know, we roll up to the second mosque. It was actually around the corner over here. And we roll up, and obviously, like, we just went at a random time, so no one was there yet. And we tried to see what time the service was going to be, and they said it was going to be much later. And, you know, we had already said that we're going to go to celebrate recovery here in St. Mark's. So we're like, all right, we'll go and waste time somewhere else, you know. So we're like, all right, well, there's this Dunkin' Donuts over in University Mall. So we're like, all right, let's go get some coffee. You know, if we find anybody, we'll hand out tracts, whatever, and, you know, that'll be it. So we got to Dunkin' Donuts, and again, like, we're coming off this, like, you know, we just preached, we were talking about the word of God to a Muslim leader in the mosque. So, you know, I myself, and I know these guys, you know, we were all just, we had this sense of, like, fiery, like, the Holy Spirit's in us, like, we're ready to do anything, right? So, like, we just started, like, we got to Dunkin' Donuts, and we just started preaching to everyone we saw. We, you know, the guy giving us coffee, we gave him a handout, we were talking to him. He was from Indian background, and, you know, we weren't able to, you know, go to an Indian temple yet, but again, God brought us to the place where, you know, we were supposed to preach. Like, we had planned that we were going to go to Hindu temples and all these things, and again, God brought us to this guy in the, just serving us Dunkin' Donuts. And he kind of, he was touched by it. He was like, I don't have time and all this stuff. And, you know, we gave him Orthodox sermons and all that stuff. And he was like, yeah, I'm definitely, you know, going to check it out. And we were like, yeah, there's a great speaker named Buna Anthony and all this. And, yeah, so, and then, you know, in Dunkin' Donuts, there was girls sitting outside reading their Bible, right? And, again, we were compelled. We were like, you know, Mina and Sam, they went out and they preached the gospel. Like, this is somewhere where we were just going to go get coffee and hand out tracts. But we sat there and, you know, in the end, we talked to this kid, Matthew, and another group of kids. And we stayed in University Mall for like an hour and a half. And we were late to celebrate recovery, even though we were like, we really wanted to make it on time. But, you know, again, like, God just had a plan for us. You know, and it reminds me of the verse from 1 Corinthians. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You know, we had a plan. You know, we wanted to hit this place. We wanted to go and we wanted to go preach. We wanted to go sit with people in the mosque and talk to them and eat with them like we're brothers. God didn't have that plan for us. He said that we had to be in University Mall at that time because the person, Matthew, that we were talking to, you know, he was, you know, in the beginning he was like, no, you know, we handed him tracts and he was like, no, no, thank you. You know, that's not my thing. But then in the end, we sat there, we talked to him for, you know, at least an hour. Probably more. And, you know, at the end, he had in the beginning, a very negative kind of background to Christianity. And he sat there and he was telling us, like, you guys are just normal guys, you know, which is awesome to see. And, like, more power to you and all this stuff. Like, so God's encouraging us. And at the same time, we're preaching his gospel. And it was really an awesome thing to see how God, he put us in the places that he wanted us to preach. And, you know, it really did remind me of, you know, our wisdom and our plans aren't what God wants. Thank you, guys. And
so to continue from that, at University Mall, we split up. So Zuz was by himself talking to that guy, Matthew, inside Dunkin' Donuts. So we're, like you said, we're on a roll. We walked out of the mosque, like, we can do anything, you know. We went in, we, you know, handed out to the guy, the coffee guy, and anybody walking the street, or the person we're taking the parking spot from, or on our way, if we're stopped at a traffic light, there was a lady, like, homeless and pregnant. Let's get out, talk to her, like, anything. It was this crazy feeling of, you know, being able, like, having that confidence in God to really, you know, not in ourselves, but to really trust in his word so much that even if we meet for them for 1 minute or 1 second, that their life can be changed. So Zuz was inside talking to this one person, Matthew, for a while, and he said he was very defensive in the beginning and not, you know, not so accepting. So we were on the side, me, Chris, and Mina were praying on the side, and then, like, okay, let's see who else we can talk to. So we go outside, and some of us split up, and then me and Mina and Chris go to the back, and we see just three kids sitting outside Yogurt Berry. So we're just, you know, we're trying to hand out these tracts at first. We don't know the approach, and so we're just going to hand it to them. So we're like, oh, do you guys mind if we hand it to you? They're like, oh, no, I'm not interested. We're probably going to throw it out anyway. So, like, okay, fine. So we turn and walk away, and then we're like, let's just give it another chance. So we turn and look at them, and we're like, okay, you know, our friend is up front talking to somebody else. You know, we have, like, 10, 15 minutes killed. Do you guys mind if we just sit with you? And they're like, okay. So we sat down with them. They're like, what do you want to talk about? And we're like, whatever you want to talk about. So there's three guys. One guy was definitely high. And the other two other guys, and they're about 18, 19 years old, maximum, okay? The two other guys were very to themselves at first and quiet. So as we're saying hi to them, very sad. Like, I noticed on one of the guy's arms, he had slits all up his arm and like over here by his elbow and some on his neck. So right away we were like, okay, this is serious. Like, if we're talking to somebody who's, you know, either just cutting himself for like the feeling or suicide, there's a problem. So we need to really like be careful in what we say here. So this happened several times throughout like the mission when the people at first they're like, no, we're not interested. and we ended up sitting with them. So we were just like, what do you want to talk about? Just like last night at DuPont Circle, we were walking with the tracts and like to hand out, and some guy like sees the cross. He's like, oh, are you Christian? Are you missionary? What are you doing here? We're like, no, I'm just Christian. Do I have to be a missionary to wear a cross? Like, so whatever. We just sit down next to him, and he's like, you know, do you have these tracts? You want to hand them out? Is this what you want to talk about? We're like, no. Do you want a tract? We can give it to you. It's not like we wanted to. Anything, like, whatever they, we were reactive to their conversation as opposed to proactive, where they felt, where they may have felt like we're attacking them. So we talked to these guys, and they're a little reserved at first, like, no, I don't believe in God. You know, the situations in my life have made me feel like there is no God, or even if I don't want to think about him, because if I do, I'll just blame him and get mad at him more than I am now because of the situations he's put me in, which is very scary, and, like, I understand where they're coming from a lot, and we really, like, it was a very touchy subject. So we end up talking more and more, and so two guys leave. The guy with the slits in his arms leave after maybe, like, 20 minutes conversation about really, like, more getting more in-depth of, you know, an afterlife and believing in God. And so we're like, okay, when we say the name Jesus, what comes to your mind? So the two other kids answer, and the kid who, like, who was cutting himself, you know, just started laughing. So we're like, you know, what do you think? He's like, you don't want to know. We're like, no, don't worry. Like, you won't offend us. He's like, he starts laughing. He's like, trust me, I'm not worried about offending you. So it was very, like, some deep-rooted stuff going on that was really scary. So we talk for, like, a couple more minutes, and then they get up, and they see one of their friends, like, somebody else come, so they get up and leave. So we're like, you know, man, we really wish we could have touched them, like, in a different way, or, in, like, really done something more that we could have held on to really trust that it would have worked. So we see them walk away, and then it happened that the friend they met up with was the person Zuz was talking to inside Dunkin' Donuts, who's maybe, like, 10 or 15 years older than them, but it was crazy to see how God placed him there, God placed us there at this table with these three people when there's another, like, 15 people around, you know? So to see it all work, like, from a bird's eye view on top, like, everybody split up, and then they met up at the end somehow. So we're like, okay, like, that's awesome. So I end up sitting, talking to the one kid on his own, and he's like, yeah, this is the kid who said, like, you know, I don't want to think about God because I'll just get mad at him. You know, I'm really just upset, like, my life, like, I was adopted, my adopted parents hate me, I'd have rather them not adopted me, like, I don't know why they would if they're going to treat me like this, they just need to kick me out of the house, and they just want to throw me in the army, like, I can't find a job, so we're like, okay, you know, why are you so, like, okay, you know, so he's just sitting there, and he's like, you know what, like, I'm kind of content with it, like, there's nothing much I can do, I'm just, like, there's no hope. And those are, like, Mina has a psychiatry background in school, so he's just telling us, like, that it's, like, very, like, pre-suicidal thoughts and a way of thinking, where, like, you're just content with, you know, the poor situation you're in, and you don't see that there's hope. So we're like, okay, like, this needs to change. So we just start talking to him more and more and really develop, like, this connection where he's just opening up to really say, like, you know, you're right, like, he was very quiet at first, into saying, like, I don't really believe it, and then more so about, you know, I do, like, I don't want to be in this situation, like, I'm in it because I'm in it, you know, but it's not like I want to. If things are better, yeah, I hope that they would get better. So we're like, okay, you know, if you just, just really have a different outlook on your life. If you don't want to be home because your parents argue with you, like, maybe, you know, try to change something that will make them not argue with you, or try to, like, refrain from saying things, or hang out with the wrong people, because he admitted to just hang out with other people who are in poor situations also, that just don't make anything better. Everybody's just, like, it's not uplifting, it's more of a, like, complaining group, as opposed to, like, yeah, we know, like, small groups and sharing groups and, like, common interest groups where people benefit from each other, but it was just, it felt like a negative, like, you know, my life sucks and yours does too, let's just, you know, screw it on our own and do it and, like, smoke or drink or whatever. So then towards the end, like, he was really starting to, like, soften up and be like, okay, like, I want a new outlook. I want a new, like, way. I just don't know if I have time, like, to think about God and whatever. Like, you know what? Like, don't think about God. Don't, like, say, like, you know, don't think it's going to be such an investment of time as opposed to, like a lifestyle change. So like, for example, you want something practical, wake up tomorrow, just, you know, start fresh. Say like good morning to your mom and dad and like, just maybe have like a different like smile or like instead of walking around so like you know, my life sucks. And like, we kept saying like, honestly, it's a lot easier said than done because we don't know the situation you're in, but like try and work with us. And he was very like, you know, like at the end he was like, I'll try it because I have nothing to lose anyway. Like if you think you're in the such a poor situation, what do you have to lose if you're just gonna like, you know, try to have a better life? So thank God towards the end we prayed with him, and like he was like crying towards the end of the prayer, and really like it really made an impact to show that like God's word, like forget us or anything that anybody said, but God's word like was able to penetrate so much to make him without even have a change yet, like feel that there is hope. And that's the thing that most cases is where people lose hope. So when we're doing this, like going back and forth and seeing like, okay, we want to go to this mosque, we want to go here. We're supposed to go to the Fitar at the other place, but then we said, okay, we want to go to Celebrate Recovery, and then we want to like, let's kill time at the coffee place and whatever. So God's will played a very, very big role in this. And like we always question God's will in our life, God's will in service, God's will in like my job, my school, and all these things. So Father Tom Hopko, if you guys know, he used to be the dean of St. Vladimir's. And he said something very nice. He was saying that like if we ask for God's will in my life, like your life is a big thing. It's like 60, 70, 80 years. There's so much going on. If you ask for God's will, there's a million choices that you can have. So if you narrow it down, you know, then the choices are going to be eliminated and you're going to know. Like God's will for me right now is to have this conversation with you guys. So I know God's will for my life right now. If I expand it to a year, maybe I could see it, but it's more vague. So if we ask God's will for my life or service or this, that, like just we're living in the now, and that's what was very successful throughout like this mission weekend. And like whatever we do now is now. So like we said, we're gonna plan and we're on a roll. So in the morning, we didn't really have this mentality. Okay, we're gonna go to this Buddhist temple, this Hindu one, blah, 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 blah. This Jewish temple. So we meet up, we have breakfast yesterday after liturgy, and like we meet with the Buddha Anthony. Okay, we're on a roll, let's go. We're fiery, we're singing songs in the car. We go to the temple, Jewish temple, it's closed, nobody's there. We're like, okay, like maybe it's not God's will or whatever, let's go somewhere else. Okay, we're singing songs again in the car, running, go to this Buddhist temple. There's two people inside, like, during the random thing of prayer. So we're like, okay, like, maybe this is not what's going on. So if we really, like, yeah, we have to plan certain things out, but if we really just live in what's God's will for me right now in this situation that I'm in. So, yeah, like Tom Hako was saying, like, it's more one step at a time. And, like, as he was delivering the message, he said the same thing. Like, my will right now is to speak to you. So I know God's will for my life. A lot of people, like, when I had a whole series, what's God's will, what's God's will? Like, if you just narrow it down to different time frames, then it'll be more apparent to you. So we saw in having these conversations with different people that there is a huge progression within the conversation, you know? So whether it be the person that Zuz was talking to, or whether it be, we had another a conversation, I don't know if it's called Oxford something, or like the movie theater and Potbelly places are. Fairfax Corner, sorry. Sorry, Oxford. So we go there. So there's like a sprinkler in the middle and everybody, all the kids are playing, whatever. So we go around. So, you know, we're like, okay, let's. How are we going to like talk to these people? So we see, you know, we try to use anything around us to like talk to them. So we see ice cream place. So as before we go, we turn, me and Mina turn, and Chris is already sitting down in the middle of like 10 to like 12 high school kids. And like started off by saying like, you know, I have a survey about like death and dying, and then like it led into like a religious talk. So we're like, okay, he's doing his thing. Zuz and Mina Mawad are doing their thing. Me and Mina are like, okay, let's go get ice cream. You know, so we go and we're like, oh, maybe this will be like a casual way of like, oh, you're eating ice cream, I'm eating ice cream too. Like, let's talk. You know, it was a stupid thought, but we're like, let's try it out. So we go, we get it, and we come and we come back. Oh, as we're in there. So, like, we have a little conversation with the person giving us ice cream. We give him a track and these African gifts that we had left over. So he gives them, and they were really happy. So we get out, and like, so we're about to start like our Fairfax Corner mission. So we're eating ice cream, and we're like, okay, where do we go? There's a bunch of people sitting. Should we go here? Should we go there? Whatever. The biggest fear in, like, that I had or that we had in going there or any places was a fear of rejection, which is a lot of the times the cause for many people not to receive the word of God or people that, like, or we feel that we failed in a mission. So if we just forget this, like, if we broaden our, like, people that we minister to, it won't feel as bad. Like, if we see two people only in the entire building talk, it may be, like, we may be scared and we may go talk to them. And if they're rejected, okay, we feel rejected, like, forget it, let's leave. But if there's 1,000 people, like there was a DuPont Circle, let's go talk to somebody. If they don't reject us, whatever, next person, next person, next person, somebody will listen. So we're eating our ice cream, okay, where do we go, where do we go? And, like, it's hot or whatever, so we're done with the ice cream and we didn't do anything. We're just looking around, we're like, okay, should we get more ice cream? Like, what do we do? So we see this cup, two sisters and, like, one of their boyfriends, I guess, so we sit with them. And he seemed like the guy, at first the girls were the ones who were, like, very responsive and talking, so he seemed the guy that's just standoffish, and, like, if we ask him a question about God, he'll just be like, yeah, I kind of, whatever, like, whatever. So we just, I, you know, classified him in my head as, I'm not going to bother talking to this standoffish guy, I'm just, like, let's talk to them because they're more interactive, which was very foolish of me. So as we're talking, like, we ask the girl and we ask her sister, and then to be nice, like, we're like, okay, yeah, what do you think about God, too? Just to make him not feel left out. So then right in the beginning of the conversation, he's like, you know what, I don't really care if there is a God or not. Like, it doesn't have an effect on my daily life. So we're like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, that was the answer I thought you were going to say. Whatever, let's move on to the next girl. So we go, and we're finishing the conversation. So as we're talking, he becomes more talkative. So we're like, okay, let's give him a chance. Like, who am I to say let's give him a chance anyway? But so it continues. So it went from the beginning to, you know, do you believe there's a higher being? And then we talked about, like, heaven and hell. So he's like, well, I guess I can attribute, you know, when we're talking about death, he's like, well, I guess God has control over that. You know, it's like basically really long sleep. Like, when I wake up, if I wake up at night, in the morning, yeah, I guess I can attribute that to God because, like, my mind is off and, like, why else would I wake up instead of dying, like, people die in their sleep, people wake up. So he's like, I can attribute that to God. It's like, okay, like, that's a good step. And in my mind, I was like, okay. So in the beginning, he was like, I don't really care. And now he's like, yeah, I guess I can attribute that to God. So we're talking, the more and more we talk, he's like, well, you know, science is very, like, I guess I can attribute, you know, the fact that there's this whole cycle of life and birth and death and the earth revolving and the trees and the seeds growing and water and rain, like, I can attribute that to God. So, like, okay. And then, like, everything else, he just started, yeah, I guess I can attribute that to God, too. So, in the beginning, he was like, I don't care if there's a God in my life. And towards the end, he was like, wow, like, I guess a lot of things I didn't think before, I'm attributing to God. So, in the midst of each conversation, the progression was crazy. Also, we saw the same thing at, am I talking too much, or? Also, the same thing at DuPont Circle. Me and Mina sit, like, everybody split up. So me and Mina are talking to this, these two girls outside, like, in between two clubs or whatever. It looked like they were going to, like, look for money to find, like, in their purses or whatever, to just grab some, I guess, empanadas there are good or something. So we go, and they're just, like, fidgeting for money. We're like, hey, guys, like, do you have a minute, you know, like, 1.5 minutes, just, like, answer a quick survey. It's like, what is it about? We're like, oh, no, just, like, people's behavior, like, youth behavior with, like, and a religious background to see, like, nightlife and, like, what you guys think of what's going on. So whatever, we're talking, one of them's Jewish and the other girl is raised Catholic. So they have different views, and she's like, yeah, the Catholic girl's like, you know, like, I grew up Catholic, and I don't really, like, practice it that much. And they're like, okay, like, what'd you study in school? She's like, religious studies. Like, okay, so, but you don't really care about, like, you invested 4 years of school in it, and, like, and you don't care about it that much? She's like, well, I don't really know. So then, you know, a big thing that I saw over the course of this was the fact of an afterlife in heaven and hell really got people to start thinking about my life now, or if there's a God, or if there's a higher being, or whatever. So in seeing this, they're like, yeah, well, you know, the really cool thing, she's like, I don't know if you know, but the really cool thing about Catholicism is you can do all these bad stuff, and right before you die, you can confess, and it'll all go away. So we're like, yeah, we kind of know, like, it's confession, like, we know what it is. So she's like, so we're like, okay, wouldn't it kind of be, like, a safer bet to, you know, since you don't know when you're going to die, like, try to have, like, a more regular confession. She's like, yeah, that's what, you know, the priests say. I guess it's a good idea. Like, okay, if you believe there's an afterlife, it is a good idea. So whatever. So we go, and the Jewish girl is very, like my dad is Catholic, my mom is Jewish. I'm not really into it. Towards the end, you know, when we mentioned the name Christ and, like, the prophecies from the Old Testament about it, she was, like, she really, like, she put her finger on her lip and was like, yeah, you know? And she's like, but wait, like, what does your Jesus say about, like, homosexuals? And we're like, our Jesus loves homosexuals. Like, he loves you. He loves me. He loves, like, if I were to sleep with 10,000 women, he would love me anyway. He wouldn't differentiate. Like, everybody's looking for that one thing to just hold on and just say, you know, this God is not a just God. This God is somebody that I can put a blame on and really, like, just cast him out. So whatever. So we go on, and towards the end, it really, like, from a two-minute conversation, ended up being, like, maybe 35 minutes right in between, like, these two clubs, and it was very, very productive. So, like, we come back and we tell Buna about all these things that are going on, and he's like, so, because throughout the day and the day before, we're like, come with us, come with us, come with us. He's like, no, I feel like I'm going to be a hindrance to you, like, I don't really blend in with you guys well, and, like, what, like, I don't, you know, I don't want you guys to feel that, you know, you're going to be hindered to say something because I'm there, so, like, let's just keep it how it is. He's like, but, like, one thing that shocks me is how you guys do it, and we're like, do what? He's like, how do you guys make people feel comfortable enough, like, to just open up and, like, talk to you? He's like, if I was sitting and some guy came up to me, like, and gave me a survey, he was, like, I would just be like, yeah, it's, like, it's fine, like, no thanks, you know, but, so I was thinking, like, how did we do it? And there wasn't, like, a more of how did we do it, it's just a more of a mindset, and it really showed me when we were talking about yesterday's quiet time, when Paul was rebuking Peter and just, and had no, like, his vision was just to correct the word of God. It wasn't to, you know, correct Peter or to look better or whatever. It was, this word of God needs to be corrected because people are putting their lives and faiths in it, and it needs to be changed. So his focus was just on, I'm going to do this, and that's what's going on. So if we get ourselves right and we just focus on ourselves, then all these things will come. So St. Augustine said a great thing about this, like, type of mission and type of, like, ministry. So he was like, you don't need to preach, you don't need to, like, worry about what you're going to say or anything, but all you have to do is you, like, first make sure Jesus is in your heart. We're like, okay, check. So anybody you're going to minister to, if you want Jesus to get in their heart, all you have to do is build a bridge from your heart to theirs, which is just a simple relationship. After you do that, Christ will walk, like, straight across into their heart. You don't have to worry about what to say, you know, what verse you're going to look up, what denomination they are. We don't know anything about Buddhists, like Hindu, and we're trying to go all these places. All we know, like, is what we know, right? So pull up the verse from 1 Peter. Yeah, so, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvel light. So all it's saying is, not to preach whatever, is to show the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Anybody here can do that. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to go to seminary school. You don't have to read all these books. Anybody here can say, God has changed my life. I'm going to talk about how he changed my life. That's all Christ is asking us to do. So building that bridge and building that relationship and allowing Christ to walk through is the way to do it. So, like, after this whole weekend, like, we were talking and wrapping up and saying, like, okay, how do we change? Like, how do we really, like, why did we come all the way to DC do? We have this at home. We have this whatever. Yeah, it's outside of our comfort zone. But, after we wanted to say, like, okay, why don't we just do this continually everywhere we go? Like, here, every time we went out to eat at the diner, we'll talk to the waitress, we'll talk here, the busboy, everything. Why don't we do that everywhere we go? So it's more of a mentality of, like, forget mission trips, forget mission weekends, forget, like, these little spots in your life that you're like dedicating to God, and let's have like a mission life. Like you have a mission life center, and like try to utilize it to really incorporate it in your everyday life. And yeah, it sounds very crazy. It sounds you're gonna invest a lot of stuff, but it's really not that bad. It's really simple. Like in just in your everyday life, in your everyday situations, like it sounds like we did a lot of crazy things. Go to the mosque, go here, whatever. Okay, but at the end of the day, all we did was talk to a Muslim guy that we could have talked to like at school or at like a restaurant that or a coffee line next to us. So it may seem like all these crazy things, but if we just try to have more of a lifestyle like this and do it in our everyday life and focus to really like have something to hold on to instead of, yeah, I went on a great mission trip 2 years ago. Okay, what did you do last week? Nothing. I've been working. I've been doing this. You know, is there any benefit? Yeah, I'm busy at work, whatever. You know, but if we just try to incorporate God into everything we do, like Christ himself, in the beginning, he didn't go out and like just preach. Like people just saw that he was different and like started following him. He was doing miracles. He was raising people from the dead. It's not like he was like prophesying and then raising someone from the dead. Like it was just how he acted and showed them love without anything. So I pray that we can like stop like compartmentalizing our life. This is my school life. This is my work life. This is my home life. And just have one life under God, in God's hands, and that and see his placement in everything we do.
So what do you guys think? They're crazy, aren't they? They're crazy, aren't they? Raise your hand if you think they're crazy. I absolutely think they're nuts. And if you don't raise your hand, that means you're willing to do what they did, okay? Look, I just want to wrap up by telling you guys something real quick. First of all, I want to make sure one thing is clear, that you guys, when they're talking about we talk to people, me personally, kind of like they were saying, that whole concept of talk to a person is a very difficult concept, all right? And I don't understand, because when I go to a restaurant, the last thing I want, no offense, is to talk to them, you know? Like, I'm going to get away from them, most likely. And if people came to me, like, that whole thing, so I'm like, how do you guys do it? How do you guys do it? But I promise you, in front of God, like, I was with them last night, and we were hanging out. I promise you, there was no intrusiveness whatsoever. We spent more than 2 hours, and we split up into different groups, and we were hanging out in coffee shops. Some of them went to other places as well. Okay, we went all kinds of different places, and there was never, ever, ever a time where anyone was intruding upon anyone. Just like they said. Like, it's something that you can't understand. And I'll just share. Like, we walked into a Starbucks. We're here in DuPont Circle. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. So we're just walking around, and we're, like, praying, and, like, where should we go, and all this kind of stuff. So we say, you know, we'll just go inside a Starbucks and see. We walk inside a Starbucks. This guy sees me, and he's like, whoa, cool outfit. And no joke, that triggered off. We spent probably about 45 minutes, just me and Chris spent about 45 minutes. We were like running the Starbucks. You know what I mean? We were talking to everyone, and everyone was talking to us, and this is cool, and this guy's a student here, and this. We didn't intrude on anyone, because me, I'm like, I don't like to intrude. I promise you, that when you go out there and you say God, because that's all we did. All we did is we went and said, God, we just want to put ourselves in your hand. We just want to put ourselves in your hand, and we just want your name to be glorified today. I promise you, you walk, and someone says, cool outfit, or someone else says, like I said in the beginning, where's the gentleman's club? Like, of all people to ask where the gentleman's club, like, come on, man. That triggered, you know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't intruding on people, because we all agreed that that's not the way it is, but I promise you, it's like Sam was saying at the end, you have that mindset, and you say, God, I'm willing to do anything for you. Like, you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to do a lot. All you got to do is be willing to answer the call. That's it. We didn't go up to anyone. All we did was answer the call when God put it in front of us. And that's the challenge that I want to leave you guys with. I told you I want to challenge you guys today. I want to tell you a verse from Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, a verse that changed my life 13 years ago, something like that, okay? And it says, Jesus said, whosoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And I won't show you the next verse that comes after that, okay? Because it says the exact opposite of that. Whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father in heaven. God's heart, the heart of God, loves people so much. You can't understand how much the heart of God loves people. Like, you can't understand how much the heart of God aches for people. Aches for people who don't know him. Aches for people who think they know him, but they're just saying, I know him, but I'm living my own life. You can't imagine how the heart of God aches for that. And what I'm saying is, if I'm going to have a heart after God's heart, and I'm going to love God, and I'm going to say, God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I can't just walk by people who don't know him and who don't care, and I can't not care. I may not save the whole world. Like these guys, just you know who these guys are? These guys are nothing special, so they're nothing special. Like, I made them go out and buy clothes to come here because, like, this is not how even usually they dress, okay? They had to buy new outfits for this, okay? And shave and shower and stuff like that. Like, they're nothing fantastic, all right? They're just some ordinary guys who said, God, yes. Yes. You ask, I say yes. I'm terrified. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, but yes. And then I promise you have that spirit, then you're going to walk. And it may not be into, you know, other places of worship. Like, you may not ever do that. That's fine, okay? You may not be hanging out on the street in certain parts of Anacostia or anything like that. But you have a world that you live in. And there's people in your world who God loves them so dearly, so dearly. And his heart aches for them. And he puts you there. And he's going to send that person to come ask a question or say a comment or do something. And each one today has to make a decision. Yes or no? Yes, I'm willing. And don't give me the I lead by example. Lead by example is great. But the world needs audiovisual Christians. Okay, it needs what you can see, but also what you can hear. You got to make a decision, yes or no. When someone comes in my dorm and asks me, yes or no, I'm going to open my mouth or not open my mouth. When I'm hanging out and someone says something, or when the person in the Starbucks, or when I'm in the coffee shop line, or when I'm at whatever, all I want you to say is, yes, God, I will confess you before men. Because there's nothing sweeter to me than to know that Jesus says, I confess you before my Father. That's him saying, I got you. Like, all this that we do is that we get up there. And he's saying, when you get up there, I got you. You're with me. You know what I mean? Like, he's in line with me. I know him. You know? He's with me. Stand next to me. Yeah. That's all I want. And I hope that's all you want. Let's stand up and say a prayer together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, all of us are saying with all of our hearts, Lord, that we love you, and we always tell you that we love you, and Lord, we pray that you would allow us to really see ourselves for who we are and not to make excuses and not to tell ourselves something, but in reality we're fooling ourselves. Lord, we can't fool you. And you know, Lord, that we're scared and we're embarrassed. And you know, Lord, that we don't like to go outside of our comfort zone and we don't like to take chances and we like to make excuses, Lord. But Lord, that verse just ringing through our ears. Lord, please help us all today to say yes to you, to say yes and be willing to do whatever it takes for you, for your kingdom, for your glory, for souls, Lord, that you love for and that you bled for and that you gave everything for. Let us not to look at another person in a judgmental way and in a criticism way, Lord, but let us to see people like you see them and see the value of each and every single person, Lord, as someone that you died for and you gave everything for and a person that your heart aches for. Lord, bring those people on our hearts and on our minds right now, Lord. And give us opportunities, Lord, to confess you. Lord, I pray that you don't let any of us live a life, Lord, that's like ashamed of you, that we're embarrassed of you. We know how much that would break your heart, Lord. Can't imagine you saying that you're embarrassed of us or you're ashamed of us, Lord. So please don't let us ever to say that back to you. Bless these four guys, dear Lord, for what they did, and bless all the seeds which they scattered. Bless each and every single person who's here, Lord, and let each one leave here today, Lord, with like a renewed sense of I want to do whatever it is that God tells me to do, and nothing is too hard and nothing is too scary, because if God is for us, who can be against us? And as long as you're with us, Lord, nothing, Lord, no mountains, no depths, no sea, no height, no nothing, Lord, no nothing, Lord, can take us away from you and can hurt us when we're in your hands. Bless us this day, Lord, and bless our church here, and bless all those souls which ask us to remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord and our God and our Savior and our King Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.